So I get to talk today. I popped this up. Kevin saw that, and he said, oh, my gosh. He said, I'm glad I'm teaching. Because I think, and I don't even know if that even goes with what I'm going to share tonight, today. Because it really conjures up, oh, gee, I know what I deserve. And it isn't very good. But really, the Lord said, it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. A lot of times when we're asked to teach, and it's been a couple months, we kind of question ourselves. I know for Kevin and I both, because we don't teach a lot. Like Jeff, he does it every week almost. And so we start questioning, what do you want to say? Is there something you want to say? And sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he waits, all kinds of things. And we might grumble and moan and complain, but that's just a facade. Because really what we realize when we're asked to be up here, what I realize is that I'm being asked to go deeper with him. It's not about the teaching for me. It's about going further with him, going deeper in him. It isn't I don't want to do my best. It's just that I open myself up to learning more about him and what he wants for me. And that's what I get excited about. I get real excited about that. And that's the way it was this time, is I'm just excited. I'm not that great of a teacher. I'm not that great of an orator. A lot of times my brain finishes a sentence or a thought before it comes out of my lips, so I leave people hanging, like kind of like that cat hanging on a limb. You know, it's just the way I am. But that's okay, because it's him. It's him working in me more than anything. And that's really good. So again, I don't know if this will go with what I have. It just kind of popped into my little brain. Let's see what I got here. The last few weeks, when people get up here and teach, they have props. Kevin, we remember the power tools. This is a good power tool, the DeWalt's, although they aren't their battery. I don't have any power tools. I have no big props. Jim captivates you with chocolate. So chocolate was here. Tammy does the same thing on Tuesdays. That's what they tempt you with, and it works. And then we have a priestess that comes rolling through. I am not into any priest outfits. My super bright shoes, if I end up in a temple and the thing closes and I don't come out, someone wants a lift, they can harpoon my little blue shoes and pull me out. That would be great. But my prop is that. It's a rock. If you were here on Tuesday, Tammy did a great job. And she talked about this rock, and we're in Hebrews. Here's my little shameless thing for Tuesdays. If you aren't here on Tuesdays, you're missing it. We are having a ball. And just the communication back and forth and the open dialogue is just really opening our hearts and opening our knowledge. It's really fun. And everyone who teaches, because someone's different every Tuesday, is doing a phenomenal job. And they could probably say the same thing. It's forcing them to dig deeper into the Word and to learn more about him. Because in the future, we're going to need that. We're going to need it really bad. So Tammy taught out of Hebrews, and one of the things that really, she stole a lot of my thunder even, was a millstone. And this little rock here represents a millstone. And so she went through her teaching, and she handed out these stones representing the millstone. The definition is each of the two circular stones are used to grind grain. We know that. They're usually round. But the second one is a heavy and inescapable responsibility. That one really stuck to me. So she allowed some time to pray, specifically kind of almost over the number two, what might have been holding you back. They are heavy. The Word even talks a couple places about millstones and holding us back. Once we felt it was time, she asked the millstone to be brought up front and placed on the altar, because it's gone at that point in time. And so this is my prop. I did not do that. I did not bring my stone up to the altar. The Lord said, don't. I thought that was really interesting. But it goes, like I said, with some of my teachings. So she did good on Tuesdays. I really recommend you guys be here. We'll be going to this in just a moment. As I was going through what I wanted to talk, there were some songs that came on that talked about waiting and wait, and some words that was given to me of wait. I thought, that's what he says. I'm supposed to teach on waiting. This is going to be easy, because all the word talks about waiting, a lot of places. And a lot of us are still waiting for something. Some of us have been waiting a long time for something. So I thought, I'm just going to go ahead and start work on waiting, work on myself and that. In fact, in Psalms 40, 1 through 3, it says, I waited and waited and waited for God. At last, he looked. Finally, he listened. He lifted me out of the ditch, pulled me up from the deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. He taught me how to sing the latest God song. I'm not going to sing. A praise song to our God. More and more people are seeing this. They enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God. That got me, abandoning ourselves to God. But again, he talks on that. And so for many of us, we continue to wait. Wait for answers. Wait for what we're doing. Psalms 37, wait passionately for God. Don't leave the path. A lot of us think waiting is, we just sit there. But it is actually an action word. You're waiting to do something. In Psalms it says, wait passionate for God. Don't leave the path. So obviously, the psalmist is saying you're walking a path. You're waiting for something up ahead. Don't leave the path, because what's up ahead is going to be good, or it's going to be life-changing, or it's going to be yada, yada, yada. So it is an action word that we have to wait. Think about years and years and years ago, the excitement that we get. We wait and wait. We wait for Christmas. Wait for, as we're children, wait. And you see the presents under the tree. You don't know what they are. Nina does, because she hates presents. She wants to know what everything under the tree is, right? Yes. But it's an excitement. You're waiting. What is it? What is it? And the day gets closer and closer and closer. It's an excitement. And you keep seeing more and more presents going up in there. The excitement of your first paying job. The funny story. Katie has been waiting 2 years, 2.5 years. For a job, been going through training with LifeWorks and such, and then last week or 2 weeks ago, she got her first paying job. She was so excited. I didn't realize how excited she was and how much she's been waiting for this. And it's not much, that's okay, but for her, it's everything. Because for her, it's independence, and she knows that. She knows that now she gets to go to work. She's so excited. Again, it was waiting. There's always a reason to wait, whether it's good or whether it's bad. You got both, but there's always a reason to wait. Most of the time, there's going to be something better if we wait. But some of the times, not. Psalms 131. These little snippets out of them. It says, wait, Israel, for God. Wait for hope. Genesis 49, the first book of the Bible. I wait in hope for your salvation. Psalm 25, use all your skill to put me together. I wait to see your finished product. Oh, I can't wait to see my finished product either. Proverbs 20, don't ever say, I'll get you for that. Wait for God. He will settle the score. That one was amazing. So you're just waiting. You're continuing your life. You're continuing walking wherever you're walking. It's going to be up to God to settle that particular score. So just wait. We can go through, if I were to say, hey, let's look up, and we could probably spend all afternoon talking about waiting. because there's a lot of verses in there. So as I was kind of going through this, I quickly realized that I was not supposed to talk on waiting. But I thought, well, I'm just going to continue on putting something together. So I continued to get some kind of a formula, some kind of an outline. But he really reminded me, I don't want you talking on waiting. What you're putting together was for you, Patrick. I want you to wait for me to tell you, to talk to you, because I have something for you, me personally, that I then want you to go forward with. I thought that was really interesting, but I still did my thing. At the prayer summit, every year, if you don't know, there is a leadership prayer summit down in Cannon Beach. This year, there was a lot of people. At one point in time, there was like close to 40, is that about right? That would come down either for a day, but it's for 4 days. A lot of prayer for this city, and it's leaders, the pastors, it's just leaders. It's really almost open up for anybody. It's amazing. This group, the pastors have been doing this for well over 30 years. It's the largest group, we still know, largest group in the world that meets like this. There are other groups all over the world, but this is they've been doing it consistently for this long. Amazing, amazing time. This was my third time of going. And you really get to spend, I mean, it's a focus on God. It really is. The first day we were there, we always have kind of a quiet time. And get away and go and see or hear what God is saying. So I went out on the deck, figured I'd go out. And I close my eyes. Normally when I close my eyes to pray, I either see white, that's most of the time. I don't see visions or anything, but it's just white. It's not dark, it's not black. But this time I closed my eyes and I saw red. It was just all red. I thought, oh, that's because the sun is right there, so it's just, and so I opened my eyes and the sun was not out, but it was all red. Then it slowly started turning from the bottom up to black. I thought, I don't like this. Because that was that is an area I've never been. I don't like it. So I asked, I said, Lord, what is this? I don't like it. And he said, just wait. So I waited and I waited. And I had to figure out what it was. So I just started praying. I started praying in the spirit, and then that eventually just, and I don't know what I was really praying when you, and eventually so it went from red to black, and then it just started opening up into white, what I'm used to. So I must have did something right, because I was back to where I normally am. And I heard him. Now, Jeff even mentioned this last week. When I hear something, it isn't like what I'm talking to you now. That's only happened to me two or three times in 40 years of being a Christian. It's usually an impression, something that I see very similar to what most are. So it isn't a voice, although I missed that. I mean, the first voice I heard, I said it a few weeks last time I taught, was less than 24 hours after I became a Christian. He said, you'll see me before you die, not knowing what that meant, because I was just a Christian. And that was a voice like I'm hearing, like I'm talking now. But I missed those. But so I heard clearly him just saying, what are you doing? I thought that was really weird. What am I? I'm sitting here, Lord, talking to you. I mean, it just was weird. And he just said, I needed you to wait on me because I want to tell you something, just as I had mentioned. And I just started weeping. I said, oh, my him. I did it again. I missed it again. But, I mean, it's okay, because he loves me, but I missed it again. And it's like, when will I ever learn? Sometimes I think, a lot of us are in that place, when are we ever going to learn? Sometimes I think he's up there, it's like, oh, my guys, my children, when will you ever get it? I mean, he has to laugh sometimes at us, but we're human. So I said, what do you want, Lord? He said, I want intimacy. A word that I think the world has really kind of screwed up. A word that we've really put a sexual tone to. Yes, there's intimacy in husband and wife. We understand that. But the world takes it even further. But he gave me the word intimacy. Intimacy. It is a blending of our heart with another so we can see into who they really are and they can see into us. I thought that was a good little definition where he can see into us, but we can also see into his heart. So he said, intimacy. Where are you, Patrick? For a while, I have started confusing obedience to his calling with an intimacy that he's looking for and that he's longing for. The obedience that come up here and give a word like I did with Mary or any of you, thinking, Lord, I'm hearing you. I'm doing what you say. You know, I'm praying. I'm tithing. I'm loving people. People know that I love you. And I'm being obedient. So I confused those two. I kind of skewed them. And that isn't what he wanted. He said, I love you. And I like hearing that. It's been a long time when I heard those from him. I love you. Some of you hear all the time. And that's good. And he said, and I love that you're using the gifts that I have given you. Because you're walking in that path. You're walking where I've taken you. And you're being obedient to my calling. Now that's good enough. I'm being intimate. But he said there's walls as well. And we need to deal with those walls. I didn't like that. Because I know kind of what he was talking about. But we also put up obstacles when we're doing his works, when we get taken away from the intimacy. We get so caught up in the world, even in our work, that it gets taken away from there. And I really think that's from the devil, because he doesn't want us to be intimate with the Lord. He doesn't, because things happen really good when we have an intimate relationship with them. Really good. So obstacles come up. And it isn't, again, there's not a devil behind every bush. We put those obstacles up a lot of time. We spend time doing really good stuff. That's valid. The Lord has asked us to do that. We spend time to teach. We spend time to do this. That's great. But where are you? Is what his question was. Where are you? And I just said, I'm right here. I want to know. Then the next impression that came, again, this is during my quiet time, he says, I miss you. I miss you. Those are hard words to hear. From the king, from my father. They're hard to hear. Because I don't want him to miss me. I don't want that. See where I go. He gave some memories in my mind. I started thinking about a lot of what that means in intimacy. My dad has been gone 6 years then? 6 years or so, approximately. A lot of times, I get taken back to the memories of my dad. And it goes with what Jesus is asking me. I can remember growing up, even all the way through high school, Dad would come home, and this is when there wasn't a whole lot of channels on TV, 2, 6, 8, 10, 12. That's it. That's what you get. For you young ones, that's all it was for a lot of time. 2, 6, 8, 10, 12. And a lot of times there was rabbit ears, and if it was a rainy day, you're outside holding a aluminum just to get the signal. But I can remember going, we had this downstairs living room area, long couch. My dad would come home. Usually I was either home from school already. And so he would go downstairs, and this was in the time when the Daily News was delivered in the afternoon also. It wasn't delivered in the morning. So he would bring the paper in as he came in. So he'd go downstairs. And this didn't happen every day, didn't happen every week, but you know, enough where it wasn't rare. I would know I'd go upstairs, either crack him open a beer can or a beer bottle, take it down to him, or I'd mix him a drink, whatever he wanted. Yeah, so I learned how to mix drinks pretty early. And then I'd take it down to him, and he was sitting on the couch, watching television, watching the news, just winding down from a day. He worked out at Trojan when Trojan was going. And in the beginning, it was real stressful for Dad. And so we'd sit just together. We'd sit and I would grab the funny pages and watch that and just kind of talk. That was an intimate time for me and my dad. Very intimate. There were times when I'd come home from school, especially when I'm getting older, when I was playing football or I was playing sports, and it mainly happened in high school, is same scenario. And Dad would know that something was wrong. And even when I was a young one, Mom said I would do this, I would put my head upon his lap. And I miss that. Because we would talk. He would know. Sometimes we wouldn't talk. He would just know. And I still like to say, but he'd put his hand on my head and kind of scratch it. And a lot of times I'd just fall asleep on his lap. It was amazing. That was intimacy. That is what Jesus was telling me. I miss that. I miss that. When there were times when I want to get intimate with God, that's exactly what I would do. I would pit for years and years and years because he would use what was in the physical for me to get close to him. For years and years and years, I'd crawl up in his lap. When I was down, when I was happy, I'd sometimes be laying over here in the corner. If I'm laying there, no, I'm actually in his lap. I'm hearing from him because I wanted to hear from him. Over the last couple years, I haven't done that. That's where "I miss you" comes into play. It hurts so bad. It was just a stab in the heart. Those are the places where he gave me the gifts. Where he gave me what I'm supposed to do. Did I always do them? Absolutely not. Did they take time? Yeah, they did. But that's where he told me stuff. That's where we talked. And that passion just almost kind of turned into a business deal. Yeah, Lord, you tell me to do this, I'll do it. Done. Lord, I want this. Can you do this for me? Done, maybe, maybe not. It wasn't crawling up in there, knowing where I'm going. He has so much more for us than we have any clue of. Any clue. He has so much, so many blessings that he wants to reveal to us. We already have them, but he wants to give them to us. He wants to open them up. He wants us to experience what these blessings are. He has plans for us, huge plans. But do we know exactly what they are? Do we spend that time? Do I? No, I don't. Jeremiah 29, just as I was reading to Mary, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." He has a plan. It's his plan. It's not my plan. And I want to know more of that. I want the intimacy. I want the passion. Someone talked about passion earlier. The passion that I see Jim when he's up here and he starts weeping when he reads a word. The passion I see when Lisa grabs the mic. I'm not coveting what they are doing. The word's pretty specific on that, but I want the passion. back that I had at one point in time. When Nina gets up here, and she has such reverence for communion, that's the kind of passion that we need. That same thing. Because that's when he is going to start moving, is when we have that. Those are awesome. So back to the prayer summit. There was a time, I think it was on Wednesday, that Mark had a feeling, and there's some words spoken that we're supposed to break up into two groups, male and female. Females went one way, males went another way. I hate these kind of things with a passion. Because what we're going to do is, in the past, you get kind of slimed on because somebody has something, and I just hate them. They're good, but I hate them, and I don't recommend them. They're good for one out of maybe 4, 5, 6 years. Then you get healing for that, and then you can do it again. I just hate them. And so I was thinking, I told Tammy, I said, I think I'm going to go walk Cannon Beach. Well, you can't do that because you're there. I mean, it's not that big a group, but you're there. So I knew, I just had this feeling, we're going to get slimed on. I'm not going to slime on you. I am not going to tell you really what went on. But it goes to what the Lord was working on me that whole week. But the question was, that was posed, something like this, at least this is what I heard, is there something in your life, some unrepentant something, something you need to confess, something that is preventing you from going forward? And that's, was that about what it was? Something similar. At least that's what I heard. I don't really, if that was wrong, that's what I heard. Because apparently I needed to hear that. Again, not going to discuss what went on in that. But it gave an opportunity for, at least in the men's group, and I assume the women's group, to confess something, to confess whatever it is. In fact, in James 5:16, it says, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. A prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. I want to, many of you want to be powerful in what we do. We have to be powerful in what we do. But something kind of clicked in me. I didn't get a chance to share. And that's okay. But the Lord wants to do powerful stuff. I want that powerful prayer. I want that powerful touch. This is some things that I want and some things that we can have because it's again, almost one of those blessings. I asked him, and you, again, never have learned. I asked him, Lord, what is it in my life? He is so faithful and loves us so much that he's going to show you. And he showed me. Holy crap, it was not good. When we become a Christian, when we ask him into our lives, that he has permission to deal with whatever he wants to, that's his job. We're going to deal with stuff. And so, of course, he took that opportunity. When we ask him to show something, he does. He's just. He's going to do it. And he's going to take it pretty literal. So he's going to show. And this doesn't mean just the good stuff. This means the bad stuff. This means the stuff that needs to get spoken. Yeah, am I going to speak something? Yeah, that's what that little sucker's for. But it's not going to be a sliming, because I've been in these kind of meetings too. It's like, oh gosh, he's going to say something. Some sexual sin. No, I'm not. Just calm down. Because they aren't fun either, those kind of meetings. They just aren't. So I asked him. I said, I really want to know, Lord. Because obviously there's something that is preventing me. And it's me. It's not him. It's me. Obviously, there's something that's preventing me and my desires, a stronger prayer life. I've already went over those. And I want a clearer picture of my assignment. I have. I want a clearer picture of my path. I want to see it. He's not going to reveal the whole thing. It'd be awesome to go to heaven like Diane. But that's where she's at. One of these days I'll be there. I might be dead, but I'll be there. She goes when she's alive. Doggone it. But we'll get there. We'll all get there at that some point in time. So the Lord decided he's going to show me where my shortcomings are or where something is. It wasn't during the prayer summit. The first couple weeks after that, I was really struggling, really struggling. So I knew he was doing a work in me because he was bringing up stuff. He was bringing up, and I didn't want to accept the stuff. But he kept nagging me and nagging me. I mean, my sleep was bad. My eating was bad. It isn't good anyway, but it is even worse. I knew that he wanted to work within me. It goes back to the beginning. Yeah, you're going to teach, Patrick. I know. Oh, great. He wants me to grow deeper in him. It goes back to that same thing. And I'm not going to get into any specifics, no extreme specifics. But 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago, I was put on this journey. It was really glorious. I thought I was ready for it. But as the days and years went by, I didn't like it. It wasn't very fun. It's a path that I don't recommend anybody to walk on. And it just wasn't fun. And this has been going for 20 years or so. My mind is went through during this time, and I don't have specific dates or years, but my mind went through at some point in these 20 years is that I realized I'm not going to experience some of life's joys. And that hurt. And that made me angry at God. Because I'm watching my friends and family go through some life joys that I'm not going to get. And I'm not going to experience. I wasn't mad at them. I wasn't mad at where they're at, where they're walking. Not even close. I was overjoyed with some of the stuff that I was watching and seeing. I mean, overjoyed. But I had an anger issue with God because I was mad at him. So at some point in those 20 years, I told him that. Thought I had dealt with it. Thought, I dealt with this stuff. And he reminded me of this. Lord, I dealt with this. I dealt with this years ago with you, my anger toward you. And we're good. You've showed me. You've given me blessings. You've given me this. You've given me XL. So I thought we were good. And he said, no, you didn't deal with it all the way. And that hurt because I knew what he was saying. So again, over the last couple weeks after the prayer summit, a lot of these emotions started flooding back into me. Now I felt bad that I didn't deal with it. Because what did I miss out on? What did I miss out on? It wasn't, he didn't give them to me. It's just that I didn't allow them to happen. Because it came from him. And I thought I dealt with it, and apparently I didn't. I prayed these feelings to go away. I prayed these emotions to go away. And for times they did, and they'd come sometimes wane back in. I'd speak to very few people about the specifics. And that was, it's okay, you can just pray. It'll be okay. And it would. I mean, I'm not, that's okay. But there were still some things that needed to be dealt with. I didn't say anything at the prayer summit because I wasn't bold. That's one. And a lot of it, I don't think the Lord wanted me to. He wanted me to wait. Again, that wait thing. So all through these last couple of weeks, I said, fine, Lord, I'm tired of not sleeping, tired of you nagging me. What? What did I not deal with? What did I not deal with? And I spent some time just off the side of the road trying to figure out, not trying to figure out, because when I asked him what, he's faithful. He's going to tell you. So what is it? And the impression I got is, take note, Patrick. It's like, take note. I never say that. So, okay, Lord, you must be wanting me to talk. Or you want to talk. You want me to hear. He said, I'm not holding the blessings back from you. I'm holding back the intimacy you asked for. I am not holding back the intimacy you asked for. I'm not holding back the passion you seek. He said, I'm not holding any of it back. He said, that's not my character. He wants to give it. That's not his character. And I heard real clear, you are preventing these things you want. Me. It's not him. Oftentimes we blame him. But it's us. He said, Patrick, you put a wall up. You put a wall up on me. Your wall is preventing them to come into their fullness. My wall has prevented me to receive all the blessings. When we have blessings and we give them out, everyone benefits. And I wonder what blessings that I did not accept, that I couldn't give to my friends, family, my church that I love, because I put this stupid wall up. Still a little dense. I asked, Lord, I dealt with this a long time ago. And he didn't waste any time in saying, not all of it. So he mentioned an offense. He said, Patrick, you're carrying an offense. So I thought about all the people. I thought about all of you. Who did I offend that I have not gone to? And if your name didn't come up and I did offend you, well, we'll have to deal with that later. But, so I was just going over and over and over and over again. So, of course, I said, who, Lord? He said, you have offense against me. How can I have an offense against my Savior? It's not right. But I put up that offense. Because of the past, of the experiences, of watching and not getting what I feel I am deserving of. The life experiences that my family and friends have gone through that I won't. That's where I put up a fence against him. When we put up a fence, we know, because when we do it in the physical, it's pretty hard. It's tough to get through and tough to get over. We know what we're supposed to do. The Lord wanted me to talk about this tonight, today, whatever time it is, that there are some, he said, even if there's just one that has some kind of fence that is stopping it, we have to get rid of it. It could be the big bad one, I think. To my life, I would carry an offense against him, Abba Father. When I'm not supposed to, for 20 years, 20 plus years, I carried this offense. Why does he want to, why did he want to reveal it now? Because I asked him to. Because I want the passion. I want intimacy again. I want to be able to come into this body and give the blessings that he has given me out. We all should want that. We all. So, that was my millstone. And I'm sorry, Evangel, that I held an offense against our God, because that's not right. I could see where I have fallen short of that. This is really, that was my millstone. And I do stand here before you and repent. Because I don't want to. I want the passion. I want the intimacy again. We all need that. We all deserve it. And he gives it to us. So tonight, it's gone. You guys, we need to find that. Hey, Dan, we got some time. Can you come up and plink a little bit? This isn't, I don't want to open mic confession time. This isn't the time or place. But I think there are some people that want some prayer, and that's good. And that's a good thing. And there are some people that want to pray, and that's even a good thing. That's a great thing. And so I invite you, as Dan plays and does his thing, that you come up to the front, sit in the chairs, and just receive whatever it is. If there is an offense, deal with it. It's easier said than done. You could see that. This was not easy for me. It's easier said than done. But I recommend it, because, boy, does it feel good seeing that stone up there right now that I couldn't put up there last Tuesday. So I dealt with that sucker for 5 days, 6 days, whatever it is. Come up and get some prayer. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for loving me. Loving just me for this. Thank you for taking me to where you want to go and forgiving me for what I've done. You've said it all the time that that's what you would do. Lord, that you come speak to us. Thank you, Lord.
At 3 a.m., I woke up, and I had a vision in front of me, and we were here in this place, and there was a very small elephant in the room. And I laid in bed, and I'm like, why are you showing me a small elephant in the room, God, at Evangel? Why are you showing me this small elephant? What is this small elephant? What Patrick just spoke about is this small elephant. It wasn't a huge elephant in the room. It was very small. It was a baby elephant. Lord, I ask right now that every single one of us who's ever been offended by you, the ways that you do things are bizarre, God. You're weird. You have a man lie naked on the ground and prophesy over cow dung, but you told him he had to do it over human dung. You're weird, God. You do things that blow our minds. You do things that make no sense to the human mind. All throughout your word woven are things that can offend our spirits. And I ask, Lord, that you would start to bring those things up. Not only in places where it didn't go right in our family life or didn't go the way that we had planned, but things we just couldn't comprehend and say would be the living God who would do those things. I ask, Father, that you would take us into the intimacy that you just took Patrick through, and that baby elephant would be removed from this room. Thank you, Lord, that you worked such a work of humility in Patrick that he was bold enough to walk us through this process. You're such a good God. We love you, Lord.
Until you have won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. I said you has received upon the Lord as a seal upon my heart. For there is none that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as grave, that man you are.
What's happening with these people has already begun with them and the Lord, so you don't have to make anything happen. You can just come alongside them where they're at right now, and you know that their perception is there's been an offense in the past. Just ask the Lord to help them move forward today, that the offense would be removed today, that they would walk out of this place different than they ever have before. The offense had begun. Just you come alongside of him, just sit next to him, put your hand on him, pray for God to move this thing forward today. Agree with their heart that's come up today and ask for this offense to be removed. Just agree with what they want. You don't have to make anything happen. There's no pressure on you to get them set free. They're already probably set free just getting up here and moving into this position. The freedom's probably already come. You're just getting to celebrate with them. So you just come on up and gather around them. Because it does feel a little weird when you've gone out on a limb with God and you feel really alone. So it's really comforting to just have people around you.
fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Come be the fire inside of me. Until you and I are one, come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Come be the fire inside of me. Until you and I are one.
There's a lot going on in ministry right now, and we just want that to continue. But the Lord really wants you to know. He really wants you to know that a lot has happened today at a lot of different levels. And it's because His love for you is real. It's not because the combination was right or the setting was right or the song was right. It's because His love for you is real. So as we go out of this place tonight, you're taking His love with you. It's not staying here for until next week. Or it's not dissipating until your next time in the Word. His love is real, and you're walking out of this place with it today. Lord, give us the courage to not hold on to anything, but to let it go through us to other people. There's people that tomorrow at work that are going to need to hear your voice. There's people tonight, even that we encounter, wherever we go, that are going to need to be loved. We pray that the free flow of love in and out of us would increase today. And as we go out of this place, Lord Jesus, you continue to do the work in us that needs to be done. We're so grateful for you. We're so thankful that we have a God who loves us, and the love is real. So as these people leave today, Lord Jesus, as we leave this place, we pray that the ministry that you started here in our hearts a couple hours ago would not stop, but only increase. We pray that this city be changed, this region be changed, that people would know the love of God. They'd see the love of God, feel it and hear it. They'd know your love, Lord. So thank you for everything you've done today. Thank you for loving us the way that you love us. We love you. Amen. You guys are free to go, and you're free to continue in the ministry that's going on up here too. It doesn't have to stop.
As we were worshiping earlier, the Lord showed me a picture, and I thought, where does this fit? And now I know. What He was showing me was two hearts, and there was distance between them. And I wasn't sure what that was all about, but then I saw Him begin to move those hearts together. And this is something that literally happens in the physical. When you touch two hearts together, they begin to beat with the same beat. Even though when they were apart, they were beating separate beats, different beats. But when you move them together, they begin to beat with the same beat. And when those offenses come down, He says, you're going to begin to touch my heart in a way you've not been able to, just as Patrick was saying. But then what I saw after that is after they touched together and they began to beat with the same beat, I saw God's heart swallow up your heart and consume it. And He said, the years of famine are over. And the years of plenty are here. So if you've been in that position where the offenses have held your heart separate from God's and you've been beating to a different beat and you're dealing with those offenses now and you're touching God's heart, just know that the years of famine are over and the years of plenty are here.